Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Perkins Platform. This is a solutions-oriented podcast and live radio show. Each broadcast, we dedicate just about 30 minutes to explore topics of interest for leaders and professionals in education and a variety of other disciplines. And this is your host, Brian Perkins. So today I have with me a professor of computer science. And I know you may be thinking, what? Computer science? Why computer science? This is all about leadership and related. Well, you're going to see in just a moment. But the professor I have has done some research. He's going to tell us a little bit about his research, and I think you're going to see why I invited him to have a conversation with me today, because his research is on language and persuasion and a number of other things. So I'm pleased to introduce to you, the audience, someone who I think will be able to add to us as much as other people have. Welcome, Chin-Hao Tan. Welcome, Chin-Hao.
Great. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, glad to have you. And so, you know, why don't we start out by tell me a little bit about what you're doing. I'm so fascinated that you are, you know, you're a professor in computer science department, some of your research has included things like human-centered AI, natural language processing, and computational social science. So why don't we start there? Tell me a little bit about the work you do kind of on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, that's a good question. I think just like following where it started from, I think a lot of people have the notion of computer science as looking at the computer or studying the inner side of the computer, but I think computer science is doing much more than that these days. And in particular, a lot of my work is about understanding people and like for instance, the reason that I branched out was through understanding social media and how people talk to each other on social media, and can we learn anything about language and the impact of language through such a large volume of data. And these days, I think AI is another like very important concept that's getting more and more attention, and like my recent work also think about what the best way to integrate AI into our society, and that's what I thought as human-centered AI.
Ah, okay. And so part of what I described at the beginning was that I know you're doing some work on research and language. I told you that I read an article that was published by you and some of your colleagues. I know a few of them at Cornell. I guess you were at Cornell at the time as well.
Yeah.
But this article where it looks like you did some analysis of people posting information on Reddit and looking at their the outcomes of their persuasion efforts. And so we can learn a little bit from that by looking at how people, I'm assuming, changed minds or got people to see things their way. So why don't you tell us a little bit about what that research looks like, how you structured it, and really what you were trying to, what kind of questions you were trying to answer by looking at people's language patterns and the outcomes of when they were trying to influence others.
Yeah, that's a great question. I think where we start from, like with all of the authors and my colleagues and I are interested in persuasion, but it's also very hard to study problems. It seems very rare, and when it happens, we don't really know. And this is even worse on the internet, in a way, right? I think, like, especially like with all of you going on voices about Twitter, and many people may have like this impression that the internet is full of like toxic content, misinformation, and very hard to get positive impacts from the internet. One thing that probably our study is that we found this very nice community called Change My View on Reddit, which is a name, right? This community is entirely dedicated to people changing each other's opinion, but created in such a nice living environment where a good amount of persuasion is happening, and we collected all the data set until the time that we did our study and use that data set to look at how interaction dynamics on the community affect the success rate of persuasion and how language affects the success rate of persuasion.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of like kind of interesting things like about how the community are set up and like, you know, which is really kind of gold mine for us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so essentially, and I'd love to hear, now you've told me, I don't know if the area still exists. I'm fascinated by the idea that that's basically why people are there, is for people to either change minds or to have, or be open to people changing their mind. Right. That pretty much it.
Yeah. I think the idea of that is quite ingenious, right? I think a setup for people who are willing to have their opinion changed. And in order to do that, you are required to make a post with a minimal requirement or length. And in that post, you need to explain why you hold this opinion. And then other people are invited to provide counter-arguments, and if their argument successfully convinces you to change your opinion, you will give what they call Zelda. It's somewhat a big nerdy term, but like, have indicated change, and as a result, we have like very nice observation about when an argument is successfully changed everyone else's opinion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so, tell me a little bit about. So, what did you find? What were the things that I would imagine that there was kind of a structure to when you found people were more successful than others, which is where I think our lesson is. I thought about, I don't know if you've seen this, but there's a video of Steve Jobs fielding a question from someone that actually kind of insulted him, but asked a couple of really good questions about the direction and how do you know what you're doing and what do you do, you know? But it has been presented as a really good example of how to respond. And I think in this response, what Steve Jobs did, and I've heard some people do analyses of his response, but basically said that the way he started out was kind of first disarming the person by agreeing with them. And so which in kind of the science of argumentation and persuasion, it seems as though that there are ways in which you do persuade people. So I want to get down to, so what are the lessons that some of our leaders take from hearing what it is that you found that people who were successful at changing minds or changing opinions, how did they go about that? What are some of the ways in which you've seen that?
Yeah, that's a like very, you know, the essential part of this work, right? I think, let me start with things that are not really language related, but I think this may be useful too. Right. One thing that we observed is that it is helpful to be able to engage the other party in several rounds of conversation. There is this interesting kind of non-linear relation where if you can get a person to talk to you in for like two or three rounds, generally, the more you talk, the more likely you are going to change the other person's opinion. But if you start to go over four or five, get to six rounds, like, then the likelihood starts to go down, and you kind of get under a mode where you are essentially beating a dead horse, and you have really exhausted your main points, and the other party has, I guess, decided that they are not willing to change opinion based on this kind of argument, and at that point, it's kind of a waste of time for you to keep going. And I think that was very useful. And the other kind of point at that level is that generally what we observe is that if we look at the person who wants their opinion to get changed, the more people that tries to change their opinion, the more likely that this person was successfully changing their opinion. And then let's move on to some of the language-related phenomena. I think one thing that we find is most interesting is that generally seems that it's good that you follow the other person's style, but it provides a different perspective somehow. Like there's also like there's a level called linguistic accommodation. Like this just means like when the other person says and you will also say or like using some of like the similar words of speaking or similar styles of speaking as the other party, and that may make that person feel more comfortable, and that may increase the chances of persuasion. And providing a different perspective is also kind of important. And if your argument is too similar to the original reason, the reason for hold the argument in the first place, it won't change that person's argument. In this case, like citing, I'll use one more and then I'll stop. And one more positive and one more negative. So one positive thing can be like citing evidence, and that seems to be particularly useful in this community. And the one thing that's negative is that it seems like directly quoting the other doesn't seem to be the best option. And if you quote the other person, you may also be perceived as nitpicking and not the best way to communicate in this community.
Fascinating. Those are very fascinating points. I guess first, what I heard you say was that the more you talk, then the more likely you are to change their mind. But there's a kind of threshold, right? So if you go you go through too many exchanges, which is something to keep in mind. I wonder though. I mean, I know these are. Or at least they appear to be, since I know how Reddit works. They are asynchronous, correct? I mean, like these aren't live conversations. So that's an interesting point though, to keep in mind, because if we're talking about asynchronous discourse, then you have a chance to really kind of take as long as you want to think about it. Maybe even do some of your own research versus being on the spot, say at the water cooler or in the hallway at work, or even in the meeting, but I still think some of this is still useful, but it's just important. And I wonder to what extent it might be influenced by time if there are time constraints around those opportunities to exchange. So, but what I did hear you say is that there's this threshold that if you get too much into a back and forth, maybe the psychology behind it is that the person with the original argument is more likely after, say, 7 rounds to dig their heels in and even be more defensive. What do you think?
Yes. I think that's exactly what was happening. And I think it's difference between like live conversation and asynchronous conversation is kind of a very interesting one. And it's usually found out like change review kind of have this rule that the OP will, like the original poster who want their opinion to get changed, will stay online for a while. So like it's not like unlimited time, but it is like I think this people who provide counter-arguments have some time to go through their counter-arguments. In a way, I think a good analogy is that, like, I guess, like, emailing or, like, some, I guess, radio itself or, like, some social media is actually, like, shared the similar structure. You are not forced to have the conversation right away. Actually, related to this, like, we have, like, separate studies ongoing that's kind of interesting where we get people to negotiate with each other, you know, an experiment in a lab setting where we ask one person to be a seller of a house and the other person will be a buyer, and they talk to each other about in real time and see what price they settle at and kind of try to understand how language plays a role there. And I think that like it would be a setting that's closer to this real time conversation.
Well, you know, this is really important. You know, a lot of the people in my audience are, as I mentioned, leaders. And so it's just something for them to keep in mind, too, because a lot of what we do in leadership roles, not only is it just influence, but we are trying to persuade people all the time, whether it is to persuade people to jump on board with our vision of a project or a way, you know, where we want to go, or whether we want to influence them to behave a certain way, to talk a certain way, or what have you. So these are very important points to keep in mind. The second thing I heard you say was about following their style, which I think is an interesting finding as well, because sometimes it's almost kind of natural that when you're talking to people to use some of the words that they're using. But I just think about the impact of doing that intentionally, like, you know, keep it in mind that when you're going to persuade, is that so a way that I can do that in a genuine way that doesn't seem, you know, kind of disingenuous, is that you start to adjust your language in such a way that it is similar to the way they would speak. If they've taken a more, and I take that to mean is, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that if they are talking in a more relaxed, colloquial way, you don't want to necessarily be very technical with them when you're trying to persuade them either. Is that more what you're talking about, or is there some other way you mean by following?
Yeah, I think that's where I'm going towards. I'm violating this rule right now. But I guess putting my academia hat on.
No, it's okay.
Exactly measuring whether someone is talking in a very relaxed way or like particular style is actually difficult for a problem. So our measures are not exactly that, but I do think that the goal or the proxy that we are trying to capture.
I see. And then, if you don't mind, tell me a little more about when you said citing evidence. I mean, I guess I know on its face what that is, but tell me a little more about what you mean by citing evidence. What would that look like? And is there actually a detrimental effect of doing too much of that? Or what seems to be the right balance?
Yeah, that's a very good question. I think like what we were looking at online, a lot of what I mean by citing evidence there was kind of looking at whether the counter argument can include the URLs or like PDF files that include like external evidence that's coming beyond the context. And there we don't see any detrimental effect. In general, I think it tends to be a good thing that you include more evidence. And one thing that we also look at is examples along this line, right? And we also see that it's by using examples generally helps. And there we kind of observe like the turning point. And like, I think one thing that we find about this is I actually like use this signal kind of data in my work. Like I think this notion of like uncertainty or like expressing some saying that something maybe something is. Or saying I think instead of like nothing just that, like just adding some qualification to a statement seems to also help in terms of changing the other people's mind.
So you're saying that saying I think actually helps persuade?
Yeah, like I've seen in this study, like using soft circling, like I said, that's another way to deal with the signal.
Okay.
Like it could be possible.
Mm-hmm.
That would be another classic. Like technically we call this hedging, like or adding uncertainty. And this seems to also be like helpful
Yeah, yeah. No, that makes sense. Makes sense. So, okay, well, before we end, I'd love to hear a little bit. Also, I know I've had a few people on over the years that have talked about artificial intelligence, and I know some of your interests. I haven't seen any of your research about it, but I'd love to hear what you're currently doing in your lab around human-centered AI and what that is exactly. Because, like I said, I've had other people come on and talk about what AI is and is not. So I'd love to hear about what you're doing.
Yeah. I think a lot of what I really in my lab is to think about, like, what's the how to achieve what I call complementary performance. Or like, what think of what the process of making a decision, like, say, investment decision, deciding whether they want to buy a company, and or whether they want to buy stock and start from something smaller. And if you can have the default setting where just a person makes that decision, then you can have the alternative setting where you have an AI making the same decision. And most mobile work thinks about what the best way to use this AI decision maker to improve human decisions so that their joint decisions are better than either law. That has been kind of the guiding question of all of my recent work. And by default, right, for instance, like the simplest setting would be the AI just gives you a prediction saying you should buy this stock or not. But that seems like very limited. And also, it's very hard for a person to reason about that recommendation. And so a lot of my work is on, like, explaining the AI decision, like, thinking about what is the additional information that we can provide about what's going on in the AI decision making process so that a human can make a better informed decision and decide whether they should trust AI prediction or not.
Interesting. Very interesting. Well, for those of you who are listening in and might want to read a little bit, if you're kind of nerdy like me in this regard, there's an article that was written by Chin Hao and his colleagues at Cornell called Winning Arguments, Interaction Dynamics and Persuasion Strategies in Good Faith Online Discussions. So a lot of what I've been asking has come from some of that research. So you can find that online in full text. But that was a really interesting read. So Chin Hao, tell us a little bit if there are things as we close, any new projects you might be working on, but ways in which people might follow you, find you, social media handles or anything you might be doing that where you might be speaking or what have you, where people can tune in.
Yeah, thanks. I think I'm on Twitter. My handle is just my name, Chin Hao Tan, and I direct the Chicago Human Plus AI Lab. So if you Google that, you can find like my lab research. And in general, you just Google my name and comes on my webpage and all my papers. I think I'll just like take thanks again for having me. So I'll just take this opportunity to maybe like quickly talk about another the study that I was mentioning about negotiation. I think that one thing that maybe you spoke more people is fascinating. One kind of very interesting thing that we found was that when you are buying a house or when you are selling a house, calling it home with the house actually makes a difference. And if you call it home, you are less likely to get, if you are a buyer of home, you are less likely to get a good price because you are attaching value to the
house.
Beyond a commodity, and if you simply call a house, you simply get credit your offer. I guess like that was kind of an interesting observation. But in general, I think I think there's a lot of fascinating things about language and if they affect us in our everyday communication. And I think like it's very interesting to pay attention to these facts and think about how language can shape our interaction and even our strategy, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I've learned just a lot over the years about just the importance of language and how, especially in leadership roles, how your success really depends on your ability to communicate, but for purpose. And I go back to the word I used earlier is how intentional you are using certain language. So I think that's very good advice, and also is something that is taught in negotiation. So as you're talking about purchasing a home or selling a home, what you do and how you do it in the language is very important. And that goes across a lot of different places where you might be negotiating. So thank you for sharing that. Also, thank you for coming on and sharing your work. You have any? I know you had you mentioned. I know we corresponded a bit over LinkedIn. Thank you for connecting with me, and I just want to thank you personally for this conversation. And I'm sure you've added a lot to people who give us all something to think about our language. We knew it was important, but here's where the science really bears out some of what we've been holding as true anyway. The science shows that there's a considerable amount of success in when you're intentional about the language you use. So wishing you the best with your research, and we'll keep our eyes open. I'm looking forward to your next article. So until then, go well, stay well.
Yeah, thank you so much. Hope you have a good day.